Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
So we're going to jump into our second message in our 23 series. And so we're going to be speaking out of Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3 today. I believe that Psalm 23 gives us and has given generations of people before us hope in the challenging days of life. So let's read verses 2 and the first part of 3 together. Here's what it says. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. Perspective makes a difference in life, and it makes a difference in reading these words. In my family right now, we enjoy playing games together, and we have a favorite game right now. That game is Dutch Blitz. Anybody familiar with Dutch Blitz? Okay, so we have some fans here. That's great. So this is a game that requires speed, quick thinking, some dexterity to get cards into the right places at the right times. It's a game that I'm actually not very good at all. That's probably why my kids love it so much. But I have one very frustrating part of Dutch Blitz, and that is a card like this one right here. Can you tell what might be the issue with this card? Is this card a 6, or is this card a 9? There is a way to tell, but in the midst of the speed of this game, I find it so frustrating. As I'm contemplating, going, is that a 6 or a 9? One of my kids throws down their card and, ha, beat you, Dad. Ugh, so frustrating. We'll come back to Dutch Blitz in a minute. So Psalm 23 can be a very calming psalm, as it should be, because it reminds us that God is our shepherd. The psalm reminds us of who God is, how he acts. This psalm reveals his very nature and character in an understandable and palatable way for us. So in this psalm, is our perspective the shepherd looking towards the sheep, or is our perspective the sheep looking towards the shepherd? For today, I would really like us to be able to take the perspective of the sheep looking toward the shepherd. When we take the position like this, we realize that this psalm is less about being a consumer and seeing what we can get out of God, but rather who God is, his very character. A good shepherd is all a sheep needs, because a good shepherd, by his very nature, will supply all that a sheep needs. Last Sunday, Luke gave us a great introduction to the psalm. He told us that the psalms in general are an honest expression of emotion, whether that be anger, frustration, or joy. But that they're not just about the expression of emotion, they are God's truth. Luke opened our eyes to see that the beginning of this psalm can be a comfort, and I think many of us who have read this psalm before have experienced that comfort as we've read it. But he also opened our eyes to the idea that this psalm can also be an affront to our understanding, because it reminds us that we do not own our own lives. Luke prayed at the end of his message, Lord, help us to not only name you as good shepherd, but to know you as good shepherd. So as we step into our scripture today, I would like us to stay in that same attitude, that same perspective that we want to know, to experience the Lord is our good shepherd. We will do that as we experience who he is. So what are those characteristics about who he is? Well, let's start in the first line of our verses today. It says, he lets me rest in green meadows. There's this sense of peace in the midst of angst. So what does this green meadow look like? I'm sure many of us, me included, the first thing we think of are like the rolling hills of Ireland, green and lush, full of grass. If you're familiar with the Fort Langley area, you might think about the sheep that graze on Telegraph Trail. You'll know there's about a dozen sheep there. I run by them on my runs. And so since I knew we were going into Psalm 23, I've been watching them closely when I go by. And they're in this field that's fenced, and there's grass everywhere. But that may not have been how the first readers of the psalm understood green meadows. You see, in that time in Israel, the meadows were actually fairly dry, rocky places where there's only little small plants of green. And the pictures I've seen, it actually reminds me of those little plants that you'd put in the bottom of a fish aquarium. It's kind of those kind of straggly green plants. And in the dry season, these plants would not get their moisture from the rain. They would actually get their moisture from the wind that would blow the humidity and the dampness from the ocean across the hills. And so these plants wouldn't be found all over the place. They would only be found in places that weren't too hot, that wouldn't get the direct sun and dry them out, but that they would get the breeze from the ocean. And so these locations that these plants were at were known by the shepherds. And they could be tricky to find. Well, the importance of this for us is that we may not know where that meadow of rest in our lives is, but the Good Shepherd does. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus and his disciples try to do just this. They try to find a place of rest after a full time of experiences. And as they go, the people begin to recognize them, and soon enough, there's a large crowd that has surrounded them. And here is where Jesus' character is revealed. It says in that scripture, Jesus had compassion on them because they were, get this, like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus begins to teach the crowds, but the disciples, being very pragmatic, I like that about the disciples, they point out to Jesus that the people are going to need some food. The disciples were about to experience Jesus in a way that fully reveals his care for them. Jesus tells the disciples, get the people to sit down on what? The green grass. And then everybody is filled with all that they need. What a beautiful picture of God's character. You see, the character of God is that he cares. We do not serve a distant God. Rather, our God is present. He's leading us from good place to good place. And so when we're in that situation that we see has no possible solution, our God is not deterred by that. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. The challenge that I have in my life is that I tend to get full of angst when I begin to look at my surroundings, and figuratively speaking, I look around and I realize that I'm in a remote place with no food, and it's getting late, and I begin to panic, and the angst begins to rise in my life, rather than simply looking towards the Good Shepherd, Jesus. So in following him, I'm not talking about an ignorant following. I'm not talking about blind trust. Rather, I'm talking about being fully knowledgeable about who I am, who we are, and that I need a shepherd. And trusting him because he is proven. That's what this book is all about. I was reminded of this this week as I talked with one of my neighbors. We were talking about some of the challenges of life and what's going on in the neighborhood, and they began to share some of the things that they were going through in life. And so I asked them, I said, so what are you gonna do about that? And they said, oh, so this week I went and saw a psychic. And I went, all right. Like, why did you do that? And they said, oh, I just felt like I need some direction in my life. oh, you need a shepherd. You need a good shepherd. You see, all of us need that shepherd in our life. And Jesus is our good shepherd. Isaiah 54:10 is a love letter to us. It says, "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you." God's very character is love towards you. Let's move on to our second line. It says, "He leads me beside peaceful streams." Have you ever been lost as an adult? I know that most of us got lost as kids, or our parents walked around the corner and said, "Oh no, where are you?" And then it all got sorted out. We all made it. It's good. But have you been lost as an adult without a GPS? It's a scary moment. So in the fall, I decided to take my kids through a corn maze. I thought this was a great idea. My wife was away, and I was like, oh, this will be a great way to spend our evening. It was kind of a cool evening, and if my wife would have been around, she would have said, you know, maybe you should take some gloves for the kids, and maybe you should take some flashlights in case it gets dark. You know, those handy things. But she wasn't there, so we headed out. Well, it did get cold, and it did get dark, surprisingly enough. And we couldn't find our way out of there. You know, we started out, and we would come to a crossroads, and, okay, kids, do you want to go this way or that way? Okay, let's go this way. And then it got dark, and the kids' angst began to rise. They were cold and getting a bit hungry, and are we ever going to get out of here? And it went from being, which way do you want to go? To, kids, come on, we're going this way. And we couldn't find our way out of that. And so finally we see somebody from the corn maze that works there. And I'm like, oh, great. So go up to him and go, hey, is this the way out of here? And he goes, maybe. No, I really want to know. Is this the way to get out of the maze? It's like, sure. Or maybe not. Really? You're not showing the character of Jesus in this moment. This is the challenge that we heard last week. Jesus is leading. But as we see in this line, he leads me. It doesn't mean that this is effortless. We're still working to follow him. It still takes effort on our part. But God's character is that he won't lead us to places that are unsafe for us. We did get out of the corn maze, all three children and myself, so that's a good thing. It talks about peaceful streams in our scripture. See, water can be scary. It can be scary for sheep. It can be scary for us. Crashing waves, fast-moving water that can sweep us away. But the scripture is saying the Lord leads us to places of safety, peaceful streams where we can relax and get what we need. Mark chapter 4 tells us another story of Jesus and the disciples leaving the crowds and sailing across the Sea of Galilee. While they are sailing, Jesus has gone to sleep because he's had a full day of teaching and he's probably exhausted. Well, as they're sailing, a storm comes up and the disciples don't know what to do, and so they wake him up. Have you ever been woken up with somebody yelling at you? They wake him up. Jesus, don't you care if we drown? He's like, what? Sorry? But once again, Jesus' character is revealed. Immediately, Jesus calms the wind and the waves. Why? Because he leads us beside peaceful streams. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." The way that God guides us is through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit guides us. And the interaction of the Spirit in our lives is critical to us knowing where we are to be. Let's move on to our third line. It says, "He renews my strength." Have you thought about this when you've read this psalm? If the psalmist is writing that God renews our strength, doesn't that mean that it's assumed that we are weak? A good coach, whether in sports or in life, doesn't get frustrated by those that they're coaching because they don't have the skills. That's the very reason that the coach is needed. So when I'm coaching my daughter on her soccer team and one of the kids goes to kick the ball and completely misses and the other team goes and scores, I don't get too frustrated with them because I know that's the very reason why I am there. It's to teach them those skills. Well, in the same way, God doesn't frown on our weakness. He knows that we need a shepherd. And so today, it's okay that you are feeling weak. It's all right. It's okay that you made a mistake today. You're welcome here. It's okay that you're sitting in this place or listening to the podcast and you're feeling broken. It's all right. We're sheep and we're looking toward our shepherd. The great news is that our God is one who restores. There isn't anything spiritually, emotionally, physically, that has renewed me or refreshed me like Jesus has and does. He is the one who knows my weakness, and he is the one who cares and has compassion on me like nobody else can. An example of this is in John chapter 4 when Jesus speaks to a woman who is drawing water from a well. This woman is what I would call a big onion with layer after layer of guilt and sinfulness, deception and shame. Does Jesus condemn her? Does Jesus call her out for being broken and weak? No, he doesn't do that. Why? Because he renews our strength. By the time Jesus' discussion with this woman is done, not only has her strength been renewed, her sins have been forgiven, her shame has been undone, and that has happened for a whole bunch of other people in the town around because she's experienced Jesus and she's told everybody about it. You see, Jesus takes our brokenness and he turns it around, flips it on its head, punts it to kingdom come, and then he breathes life into us. That is what the Good Shepherd does. His very character is to renew our strength. So I'm a pretty competitive person. I hate to lose in anything, at any time, in any situation, and this includes my children. I get that they're 10 and under. I understand that. And I get that they're sensitive and impressionable and that they're these beautiful beings that have been placed under my care. I understand that. But that does not stop my desire to conquer them in Dutch Blitz. So how am I going to get over this silly 6 and 9 problem in Dutch Blitz? I teach myself to look at the right spot. I realize that on these cards, you have to look at which way the people are facing in the corner here. Whichever way they're facing, that means that this card is a 6, whether you flip it this way or you flip it that way. I need to know where to look. I realize that there are many in this room who are tired today. I realize that there are some who want to give up today. There are many who are feeling helpless in the situations that you're experiencing in your lives. And I understand that a good amount of us in this room have broken parts in our lives that are affecting us to various degrees of significance. So what do we do with that? We need to know where to look. May I challenge you today to make the Lord your shepherd. When he is your shepherd, there will be nothing else that you want. He will let you into places of rest where you will feel whole. He will lead you to safety. He will restore, renew, rebuild your very soul. You need to know where to look. You need to turn to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize our need for You today. We recognize that we need direction in our lives. There are situations, there is brokenness, there are things in our lives that need You to move and act in. And so, Lord, as a community and as individuals, we ask You to be our good shepherd today. Lord, would You step into those situations and would you lead us in the midst of what we're going through? Because, Lord, we need Your direction. And, Lord, I pray for those who might not be in a relationship with You that are in this room this morning. I say, Lord, would You help them to recognize and to ask that You would be their good shepherd today? And that, Lord, You would step into their lives and show them Your very character, because You are a good shepherd. In Your name, Lord. Amen.